You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brandon Adams of Dog Nation, he joins us. You can find him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Make sure you check out his podcast, Dog Nation. You can find it every single day if you're a Georgia football fan, year-round, talking Georgia football. Brandon, appreciate you giving us some time today. Look, I'm going to go ahead and ask it because it's the question I think everybody's been talking about all week. JT Daniels gets cleared at quarterback. What should we expect from him today? How much do you think, and how soon do we see JT Daniels?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you guys. And Kirby Smart's obviously been intentionally mysterious about all of this. There's a part of me that's skeptical that Daniels is going to have a huge impact on this game, either because he's not quite as healthy as maybe it's been let on, or he's missed enough practice reps recently where he's maybe just a little behind schedule with his development. And that's a prediction, maybe sure to be wrong. And yet that's my feeling going into this, that this game still, for the most part, belongs to the two quarterbacks we saw last week. A lot of Stetson Bennett, maybe some of Dwan Mathis. I guess I'd maybe be surprised if Daniels doesn't play a single snap, doesn't play at all. And yet, somehow, I don't quite think he's going to be playing the majority of the snaps today. That's kind of the sense that I get about this, just based on kind of what the chatter has been as of late. Kirby clears him, or at least announced that he's cleared. Maybe that gives Gus Malzahn something to think about, but you wonder how ready he truly will be.
And with that being said, B.A., do you think that they may go two quarterbacks with Dwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett? We know Stetson came and rallied the troops. We know he's not the long-term solution, or he may be, because it seems like the team rallied around him. But as far as Dwan Mathis, I mean, do you look at him as still has a possibility to be a quarterback that can take his places?
Oh, I think that Dwan Mathis probably still has a role today. And maybe for some Georgia fans, that doesn't feel like great news because Mathis didn't play very well last week. I think even Dwan would be the first to admit that. But Kirby's going to change his mind slowly on this kind of stuff. He talked a lot this week about the fact that they've been making these evaluations during practice, and this has kind of been kind of a long-haul decision. So from that standpoint, Dwan clearly had showed them something to earn the right to take the first snaps last week. Here's the thing. Stetson Bennett actually played, you know, pretty well a week ago, but he's playing a much better defense this week in Auburn. So if we are to kind of assume for a moment that maybe JT Daniels isn't fully ready to go, that at a certain point in time, Georgia may be glad for some of what Mathis can provide. In addition to being a good runner, which he obviously is, he's also got a really big arm, too. And, you know, if you need to make that big shot play 50, 60 yards down the field, you know, Mathis' arm might be the best one to deliver that throw. So I think this game belongs to Stetson Bennett, at least the majority of those snaps. But I do think at least one other quarterback for Georgia will play. And in some role, in some fashion, Dwan Mathis still being included, I guess I would be surprised if that doesn't occur, at least in some form.
B.A., we knew it would be a little bit of a work in progress with Todd Monken coming in. And obviously the offensive line had its struggles last week. But I was curious to see what they were going to do with James Cook in kind of his touches. You saw seven carries last week. He did have the fumble, couple of receptions. You think in this offense that he's going to be kind of that utility guy, that they're going to find a way to get him the football in a lot of different ways? It just feels like he's the kind of guy that you want to try to find a way to get him in some space. And I wonder, you know, if we don't see a big mix this year between receptions and rushes for him as part of this offense.
Well, I will say that while the national media has certainly focused a lot on the Georgia quarterback situation with good reason, for Georgia fans who kind of obsess over every play, what Cook didn't do last week has been almost as big a story as anything else. I don't think that James had a very good day last Saturday, and I really expected him, for a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned, to be a huge part of the offense this year. For those of us who've seen Todd Monken offenses prior to him coming to Georgia, James Cook just seems like the kind of player that he would use, you know, very well. And last week, it just didn't really happen. I don't put that on Monken so much. You know, even though the Georgia results weren't great a week ago, I didn't have any real problem with the Todd Monken game plan. They just had a hard time, you know, asserting certainly the running game as well as they would like to have. I think this is a big day for James Cook today because while he is potentially effective in the passing game, as you said, you've also got to be a traditional kind of tailback too. You know, Kirby has typically liked that tandem of running backs. Didn't do that as much last year, but likes typically to have a couple of backs that get a lot of carries. And if Cook doesn't bounce back today and have a better day against a better defense, then I think that Georgia may start looking a little more at some of the other running backs, Kenny McIntosh or a true freshman, Kendall Milton, assuming he's healthy now after being a little banged up during the summer. You know, there's another freshman named Dejon Edwards who might eventually get in the mix. I would say that today is probably a pretty good day for James Cook to remind folks why he was touted during the offseason. Otherwise, you might start seeing a distribution of those carries, you know, go to some of these other running backs in a little more prominent role.
Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. He's with us here on College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brandon, are we doing too much assuming that this Georgia offense is just going to kind of fix itself?
Well, I think that it's going to be a work in progress at the very least for most of the season. I think one of the things that's a little bit unpleasant if you're a Georgia fan to go back and look at last year was just how broken it was by the end of the year last year, you know, through the month of November. This group just didn't play well at all. And so when you're talking about a total rebuild, which is what kind of Georgia needed to do after the way that this group kind of played post-Florida, you know, last year, you know, the thought that it can be fixed quickly, maybe that was a little too ambitious, especially when there's this currently unsettled situation at quarterback. Now, if Daniels is fully healthy and if that happens today or next week or some other time, then maybe all of a sudden the process gets kind of sped up a little bit. But right now, Georgia is going to be forced to win games with its defense. And, you know, for what has been the calling card for Georgia, the running game, you know, Georgia made a big overhaul during the offseason. The offensive linemen got lighter. You know, last year, the two tackles, both first-round picks, were 330-plus pounds. You know, Georgia has, you know, much, much lighter, people may say more athletic offensive linemen now, and that's supposed to fit what Matt Luke wants to do, the offensive line coach, and what Monken, the coordinator, wants to be able to do. But that also means you can't just stand there and maul people the way that maybe, you know, Georgia kind of used to do. So this is an offense right now in transition. I believe eventually it can be a transition for the better. But as you saw last week against Arkansas, and to go back to your original question, it is not going to be an immediate fix.
Hey, B.A., speaking of that defense, you said post-Florida. How about pre-Florida, too, that offense? But anyway, defensively, yeah. B.A., how many guys did Kirby play last week? It seemed like every time I look up, it's like a hockey line shift as far as the defensive line and linebackers.
Yeah, I don't think anybody played more than, what, 30-something snaps or whatever. I mean, as you said, it is like a hockey line shift. And I think Kirby does that for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think it keeps morale high. You know, when you have a lot of recruits, they all want to play. I think Kirby tries to find a way to get them involved so that they can feel like they're part of the, you know, program, then go back to their hometown and folks can say, hey, I saw you on TV and stuff like that. I think Kirby is generally pretty good at that. And I do think that the stamina that's built up by – having fresh bodies in there over the course of the game also works to Georgia's effect pretty well, too. You know, no matter who you have in the game, though, today against Auburn, Georgia does have to be impactful with the players who are playing. They can't just limit yards. They can't just limit points, something that Georgia's obviously been really good at. You've got to get after the quarterback. Georgia sacked Bo Nix twice a year ago. They may need more than that today because I would say this Auburn receiving core is probably better now than it was a year ago, a little more seasoned. I mean, Chad Morris is the Auburn offensive coordinator. Is an impactful coordinator in a way that maybe, you know, Auburn hasn't had in a while, assuming that Gus Malzahn lets him do, you know, what he wants to do. So, you know, for the guys that Georgia is rotating in, especially the outside linebacker spot, when someone is in the game, whoever it is, they got to find a way to get off blocks, get to the quarterback, and wreak that havoc in the offensive backfield because that's probably what Georgia's going to need today.
And, B.A., to piggyback off that, you're right. I mean, it's a good group of wide receivers with Williams and Stove and Schwartz and those guys with Auburn. I think that's the fun matchup today is watching Georgia's secondary against the wide receiver group. And I think what's interesting, B.A., I think you saw this last week against Kentucky. You know, the way Chad Morris is going to use his wide receivers this year, we kind of got into that mindset of Auburn that the way they use their wide receivers is kind of off the play action and let's hit those guys deep. Let's get them deep downfield and hit those big shots. he's going to take those guys and really run them all over the field. And I think you kind of saw a little bit of that. I think that's going to be kind of the fun matchup is it's not going to be just trying to cover way downfield against this group now. You're going to have guys running all over the place for Auburn.
Yeah, I think if you want to see what Morris in particular is doing, I think Anthony Schwartz is a pretty interesting guy to look at because he's so fast. And, you know, maybe in the past that would have been Gus Malzahn's jet sweep guy. Maybe over the course of the years that offense got a little stale. You know, Morris, if he truly has influence over this offense, being creative, how he uses him, that'll be a pretty good indicator of that. And then with Seth Williams, you know, so many people are going to compare Williams to Pickens, but I think it really is true that they are similar players in that I don't know that either guy runs away from defensive backs, but when the ball is in the air, they just go get it. And so if you're Georgia today, one of the things that you're a little concerned with is you can have a great game plan and you can have good coverage on Williams, but when the ball is in the air, he still sometimes just finds a way to win those battles. And in what I expect to be kind of a low-scoring game, one or two big plays can change the entire outcome. And so both for Pickens on the Georgia side and Williams on the Auburn side, you know, even when they're just sort of blanketed with coverage, there's no guarantee that either of those two receivers can't still find a way to high point that football and come down with it.
Brandon Adams of Dog Nation. You can find Brandon on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Check out his podcast, Dog Nation Daily. It's available wherever you download your podcast from. Brandon, this Georgia-Auburn rivalry, it's been a fun one over the years, and it's one that typically comes later on in the SEC season. Is there an advantage to either side playing this game so early this year?
Over the course of years, there will be an advantage to Auburn because Auburn was in a situation where it didn't like having, you know, as you're aware of, you know, Georgia and Alabama, its two biggest rivals, kind of crunched right there in the month of November, especially when those two road games popped up every other year. So if you want to extend this over the course of, you know, a decade or so, I think Auburn will be glad to move the game out of October. As far as this particular game today, I don't know that you know, necessarily has any kind of impact on it. I think one of the fun, you know, kind of subplots to all this is the fact that I do believe this has kind of turned into a real rivalry and not just a traditional rivalry. And the fact that I don't think Smart and Malzahn like each other very much. I don't think either have to apologize for that. This is a competitive industry. You know, having a healthy distaste for your opponent would almost seem natural. So I think one of the things that's fun about this rivalry now is that the people who are involved with it actually treat it that way.
B.A., I've got about a minute left, B.A. You see the tight ends catch balls last week? Because I know I did.
I know you like that.
You know that. So, I mean, are we going to continue to get Darnell Washington and Fitzy and all of them involved? Do you think this is the key to the Georgia offense is involving the tight end?
Well, I think it is, and I think that's one of Munkin's influences here. And I think eventually it's maybe even more profound than it was last Saturday because at some point in time they're going to get Trey McKitty back, the transfer from Florida State. And I definitely think they'll involve him in the offense. So, yeah. That's why I liked the Munkin game plan a week ago, even though the results weren't particularly spectacular. And Randy, I know you know this better than anybody, they were involving tight ends in like real routes in a way that just wasn't happening a year ago.
Yeah.
Brandon Adams, Dog Nation. Brandon, thanks for giving us some time, man. I hope we get a chance to do this again.
Appreciate it,
B. Yeah, I loved it, guys. Enjoy the football weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.